Let us pray. Gracious Holy Spirit, shape and bless the humble and human words I speak, and the thoughts, feelings, and responses of those who hear, that this might be a time when your living word comes to us and lifts us up in your love and in your hope. In Jesus' name, amen. The whole country has been captivated these past few days by the catastrophe unfolding in Fort McMurray and northern Alberta. We've watched as 80,000 people found themselves subjected to the capriciousness of powers beyond their control. Wildfire, the unreality of it spreading more rapidly than a Donald Trump election campaign. It has been something to see as people have been forced to leave homes and lives that they've been spending a lifetime building. With barely a moment to leave, they have run gauntlets of ash and fire, almost being overtaken in their cars by the wildfire racing across the road to their homes. Now, the country has been responding beautifully to this with compassion and generosity, and this church has also given to the Red Cross campaign for Fort McMurray refugees. The country's also been responding with some introspection. Whenever you see something like this happen, it raises the question for you again, what would you take if you had been given minutes before your home was consumed? There was a wonderful article in the Globe on Saturday, six different families talking about what they grabbed, what they threw into a duffel bag. And sometimes it wasn't the right thing. Someone forgot their toothbrush. Someone wasn't quite sure if they took that photograph that could never be replaced. What would you take? It also gives rise to another thought. As we see people who have their normal taken away from us, we often overlook how wonderful normal is. What a true privilege it is to be able to rise in the morning with some predictability, to have some assumptions about the way your day is going to unfold, and what will be there when you come home in the evening. You ever think how blessed we are, how much we simply take for granted that is one of the true gifts and pleasures and joys of our life? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we woke up to that because of what our neighbors, our sisters and brothers in Fort McMurray are going through? You know, how many of us would realize that some of the things that make us upset, some of the things that get us angry at others in our lives really are not that important when seen in the light of everything that is going right in our lives? If we could approach the challenges and the disagreements from that place that we have a foundation That should give us some kind of latitude of generosity and some understanding spirit. That we might understand that if all this normal were taken away from us, that this person who we're upset with would in fact be someone with whom we share a common cause, this common fragility of our humanity. And we are all in the same vulnerable boat, beloved children of God. Wouldn't it be nice if we stopped overlooking that? If we began to give praise and thanks for simply being normal? What have you overlooked in your life? This is one of my favorite pictures of my mother. I showed it during the Wednesday worship, during our week of guided prayer. That week was about the stories of our lives. And my point in that little meditation and that week was, you know what? We really do not know the stories of our lives as well as we think we do. I can't remember that day. It must have been in May. I was born in early April, and I might be about 8 weeks old there. I'm not sure. You think I'm bigger? Well, you know, I was advanced. So that might be in June. But I like that picture of Mom because it's not one of those pose Christmas card photographs. It's of a working day of a mother with a demanding kid. She looks tired, and her hair isn't done up, and she's just said, "Aw," to try and get me to open my mouth. Tongue's a little bit stuck out, and I've got pablum all over my face. And I do not remember that day, but I wouldn't be here without it. How many of us overlook all the love and care that was poured into our lives before we knew or understood or could say thank you? Oh, how many of us miss the opportunity to say thank you when we were older and maybe should have known better? Maybe when we had children of our own and realized that it wasn't a cakewalk. It was a labor of love. How much, how often have we overlooked all the love which has surrounded us and supported us? You know, this is Ascension Sunday. It's not a very well-known doctrine of the church, the understanding that Jesus rose into heaven. We have two full services on Easter Sunday to celebrate the resurrection, and that is a wonderful day. But Ascension Sunday is just as important. It is, in many ways, the completion of the resurrection story. It is the declaration that Jesus is reigning in heaven. And it is the declaration, the positive proclamation, that the one who reigns in heaven is the same one who was raised from the dead. The vulnerable one who bore the marks of the nails in his hands and the sign of the spear in his side. He left the disciples, blessing them, and continues to bless us all with that love from which nothing can separate us. That is the declaration of Ascension Day. Not that God is a coercive brute, but God is the one who loves us with that same vulnerable love with which Jesus transformed his disciples and continues to transform our world wherever one wherever anyone says yes to that love as the truth of our lives. And it is the truth of our lives. We may not all be aware of it. We may go through life with pablum on our faces, not knowing the time and care that has gone into feeding us. But this love is the truth of all our lives. I'll close with this little image. That is actually a shepherd in the foreground. And I didn't use his voiceover. I'm just going to explain it, but he's going to tell us the story of that mother goat who had twins. And at some point before he got to attending the birth, one of those twin goats had been separated from her mother, and the mother rejected her. And you watch what happens with this mother goat. Let's see if we can. Okay. Let's see if I can get that video to play. Okay, it's not going to play. But you can see the two little goats. We're going to get some help from above. The goat that the little lamb that has been rejected is the one in the foreground, and the mother keeps headbutting.
Our survival depends upon that person.
Could you turn the sound off? Thank you. And you just watch what Mom does to that. She's trying to get a drink of milk. But Mom says, no, you're not mine. She goes back to care for the other little one lying sleeping, but she will not let her other daughter near. This isn't an uncommon occurrence in goat herding or shepherding. But that shepherd is telling us, this is where I come in. I am the good shepherd. I take the rejected lamb into my home, and I nurse it. And it grows strong and well, and it loves me because of the care I give to it. We are loved by the lamb we rejected. Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for all of us, is the lamb we rejected, and yet he is also the good shepherd who says, even when you do not know the love which God has lavished upon you, I still take you into my heart and into my home, and I will nurture you forever. Even if a nursing mother, we read this in Isaiah, even if a nursing mother would reject you, I do not reject you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. I love you. That is a good foundation for facing wildfires and facing joy and facing forever. Amen. Let us come together as a family in prayer. The response pattern is printed on the sixth page in your order of service. You're welcome to join in if you are so moved. Let us pray. O gracious God, you are the one who does not reject us even when we reject you. Even when we do not understand or know how you have changed our world and our lives, how we're here because of your love, you still love us and reach out to us and our children and our babies to gather us into your arms. And in that truth, Lord, we know you hear our prayer, and by your risen life, you answer. Lord, I ask your blessing on this world of ours, a world where people take so much for granted and worry about the things that are wrong, rather than give you thanks and live in strength and gratitude and generosity from all that is right. We pray for the people and animals of Fort McMurray and the surrounding lands. We pray for their peace of mind and heart and their safety. And we will rebuild together. We pray for the Fort McMurray refugees and refugees all around this world of ours, driven out of their normal by violence or hatred or all the ways we have chosen not to say yes to your love for us. And we pray for those in places of violence in our world, for those in Egypt and Syria, for those in Africa and Afghanistan, for those in homes here in our own country where they are not safe. We pray for mothers grieving the loss of children. We pray for children grieving the loss of mothers. And we pray for those for whom Mother's Day is a hard day because of rejection in their past. Lord, bless us and heal us as we say yes to your love for us. Risen Lord, you hear our prayer. And Lord, I ask your blessing on this, our family of Kingsway Lambton, upon each person here this day, upon their families and friends, those about whom they are concerned and those with whom they struggle. Be with each person in such a way that they might find gratitude for what you have done for them and for all the normal things of their lives. Be with those who have been thrust into what is not normal, into strange lands and strange times, and we pray for those who are grieving. And I ask your blessing upon the family of Faith Harvey, on Susan and Cam and their families. We pray for those who are grieving in our midst. We pray for those who are dealing with new diagnoses and recovering from illness. We pray for Marg, starting treatment for a recently diagnosed cancer, and for Gord and family as they support her. We pray for Jim, also undergoing treatment for cancer, and Marguerite and family and friends as they support him. We pray for Kurt as he is treated for cancer, and for Joan and family and friends as they support him. We pray for Diana and her family as we mourn the death of a wonderful mother. We pray for Helmut following bypass surgery. And we pray for a dear friend living with pain in hip and back, and ask your healing blessing and love strengthen her. We pray for others who bring other concerns here this day, challenges in their family, in their workplace, in their school life, challenges with mental illness or broken hearts. O Lord, you know them. You lavish your love upon them. May we all awaken to your love surrounding us and our future in that love. Risen Lord, you hear our prayer. Now, Lord, listen as we bring you other concerns and other thanksgiving in the quiet of our own hearts. for all the silent prayers. Risen Lord, you hear our prayers. You answer us, gracious God, with the unconditional love that wise mothers lavish upon us. You answer us with the unconditional love you have lavished upon wise mothers and all creation in Jesus Christ. And in that risen truth and risen hope, we give you our thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. It has been wonderful to share this service with you this day. A reminder that at our doors, there will be some handsome gentlemen with carnations. It was a sign of Mother's Day in 1908 that carnations were given to women in the congregation, and we give them to all the women. Whether you are a biological mother or not, we recognize those two who nurture children in our midst, who give wisdom and strength and encouragement. And so I invite all the women who are here today to please take a carnation or take one to a loved one with our love and thanks. And please join us for coffee in the gym following our service. Our closing hymn is number 236, Now Thank We All Our God, number 236. Spirit, Press and remain with each one of you, even when you're crying. Now and forever. Amen.